Happy Tuesday, family. Welcome to the Rush Hour. We are live here till 6 o'clock. We're on the 13th floor and I hope you had a nice positive day, and hopefully you'll have a little giggle on the way home from school or work or from your sporting activities. So hello to my team. Bernie Vince, I welcome you to a Tuesday.
G'day, Jars. Thanks for welcoming me to a Tuesday.
And good afternoon to you, Greg Blewett.
G'day, Andrew Jarman.
And Tim Pine filling in.
G'day, Andrew.
I welcome you. And thank to the family, you. I welcome you. To the Rush Hour, we've got a big show. Who's on the show, Greg?
We've got the Crows coach on, Matty Nix. We haven't spoken to Nixie for a while.
Got a few things to ask him.
Well, what are you going to ask him, buddy?
I'm concerned about a few things.
What like?
Well, goal kicking was a big thing coming out of the weekend.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, good. Seeing how much work you're doing in that.
There was some talk they may play two rucks this week against Geelong.
Well, Riley O'Brien, you have to pick him, don't you?
He did dominate.
37 disposals. He had 250 Supercoach points or something if they did it in the NFL. So, outstanding performance, but Shawnee's going well as well.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him about a couple of things that you guys said last night as well. You bagged them. Pretty much.
We didn't bang
them, Greg. No, we're just giving our honest assessment where they're at. Mate, they're sitting 15th with three wins.
Well, talk about selection. What's their sort of thing going forward?
Hey, you've also got to catch up with a special guest. She's doing a lot of good things in AFLW and boxing.
Yes, Taylor Harris. Now, whatever she does is high profile. So she's doing a documentary, and obviously she's had some high profile. She posted a photo with her kicking the footy, and all this backlash came through, and keyboard warriors, and she's dealt with it beautifully. Just gone about her business. She
comes out Friday.
Played for Brisbane to start with, then went to Carlton, and then has just recently gone to Melbourne, played in a grand final this year. They lost to Adelaide.
Yeah.
But she was all Australian and I think she kicked the most goals for the season. So she just goes about her business and shuts them out. But we'll ask her all about it.
And there's a big situation in the Blewett household that blew up. We need to talk about that. Pardon the pun.
Well, no, not really.
Did it?
No.
Well, one
Do
of the
you know
lads,
something that
one of the lads.
Well, one of
a, no, yeah, a blow up.
He's tried something for the first time.
Yeah, okay. Like okay.
He made his sporting debut.
Nice.
Usually
on the weekend.
It is down that path, but this week I don't think it is quite so much.
And some sort of an apology is coming our way too.
Well,
after
he doesn't know it yet. Don't give too much away, but I've got some
from
intel.
From a former producer of ours. Ben the German.
Yeah.
Might have got something wrong, did he?
He can come in and front us about this. We need him in here.
And we've got $1,000 to give away, Tim Pine. Let's get going, because we're going to catch up with Matty Nix next.
We need him now.
Thanks, Timmy Pine. Now, let's catch up with the Adelaide Crows senior coach, Matty Nix. The boys go off to take on Geelong.
Tough trip.
On Saturday, and he's given us a bit of his time, and let's check in with him. Nixie, thanks for your time. And look, obviously, you reviewed the games that you've lost. Do you think it's player or team game plan that's letting your boys down?
Boy, what a question off the bat.
Mate, I'm not messing around, Nixie, because I'm coming down there as your skills coach next year. I probably should have told you that.
Good luck.
I think the games that we've reviewed back, we've had our opportunities to probably come away with the result we wanted, which was a win, and we haven't quite got it done at crucial times. It's been, you know, key moments in games. The weekend was a little bit of a different one, Jars. It was right across the day. We just didn't put the ball, you know, through the goals when we had our opportunities, and in the end, That scoreboard or lack of scoreboard pressure comes back to bite you.
Yeah. You must be frustrated because you look at the key stats or the indicators that normally win your games. You win clearance, you win contested possession, you win inside 50s, and as you said, it's just that goal kicking at the end that lets you down.
I'd give up every possible stat that you just mentioned to have the scoreboard on our side.
It's a pretty important one.
and we're doing so much work in that space. Our guys have been amazing this year. You know, the amount of kicks, we're talking thousands of shots on goal recorded under pressure, fatigue. Yeah. We've gone to new lengths in that space. You know, we've really pushed the envelope as far as how many we can have. So we're confident we'll get that back on track. And it was across the board. It was set shot, unfortunately, on the weekend. It was on the run as well. So bit of work to do in that space.
Matty, you've sort of answered my question about how much time that you do spend on your goal kicking. But who, out of your coaches, who sort of takes control? Have you got a goal kicking coach?
And he'll be pumped that you asked. Yeah, Matty Wright does a fair bit of work in that space. And as I said, this year he's been outstanding. He's, you know, collection of data, working with guys around routines, you know, working on the breathing, the mental side of it, putting ourselves under pressure at training. You know, we do a lot of that where we'll just single out a number of guys that This kick is basically setting us up for what's coming next. So I would have said up until the weekend, I was big on it not being a trend. I think we've had a couple of games now that have cost us, substantially. It's cost us wins, really. So it's something that we'll look into, but we also won't overdo. Sometimes you can go even deeper into these things and start trying to chase your tail on it. We know we've got to be better. We'll keep working, but there's other areas of our game too that we can improve, so we'll keep working on some of those.
Hey, Big Strawny going to ride in the ruck now. A few games in, Riley O'Brien performed outstandingly in the Sandful. Do you see yourself playing two rucks this week?
We've actually just had a bit of a brief informal chat around selection. We've still got a main session tomorrow, but I think you nailed it. Strawn on the weekend up against two really high quality rucks. We felt he did some really good work. Not necessarily giving us dominance as far as hit outs go, but Strawny adds, in other areas, he's extremely smart ruckman. His connection, his soft hands when he does get an opportunity, and he gave us, a number of first use or hits to advantage. So he's shown he's been given two games now, shown that, he can play at the level, which we're really pleased that he's been able to do that. He's shown us in small patches in previous years he can do it as well. But we got a young bloke, Riley O'Brien, who went back and we wanted to break the run of games where he just hadn't been at the level he wanted to be at. Rob and I had sat down, for a good month prior talking through how do we get himself back to, his best, and we both agreed it was maybe just a change up. So we'll make a call around there. I'm not sure if it's double ruck this week. We go down to Geelong, and it'll depend a little bit on what we see them doing as well. But but never say never.
Jars and Bernie said last night, Nixie, that just play the kids, get all your young guys in for the rest of the season. But as a coach, how do you get that balance right of keeping your supporters happy with wins and trying to get the right amount of games into your young players?
Well, that's exactly the space we're in. We don't have a lot of choice, boys, other than to play the kids. We're the youngest side in the comp by an absolute mile, the youngest squad, and we're doing that. We're playing Haitley at the moment. We're playing Berry. We play Rochelle ahead of the ball, McHenry. Saligo on a wing who deserves a special mention. That was his best game by a long way. So he's really exciting what he's going to bring. So we're playing the kids. We had our key back, our number one defender at this point, Jordan Butts, out with health and safety protocols. Well, he's a kid. Nick Murray comes in. He's a kid. We're doing that, and I understand. We're in a period at the moment where we're working through. Who is it that's here for the future? Who are these young guys who are going to step up and take the next step for us and lock down a spot? With that, a few kids do miss out. So we didn't play Cook on the weekend. And he's a young, super talented young player that we feel is going to, in time, definitely be able to excel at the level. We don't play him because we've got Rochelle ahead of the ball. So we're sort of young right across the board. By no means are we playing an older side.
Jordan Dawson, I just want to touch on him. It was pretty high-profile trade coming into the footy club on big money. Have you been surprised? I don't know whether surprised is the right word, but the way his output's just been outstanding right from when he came in, coming off limited pre-season. Do you sit back and go, geez, we've got a beauty here?
We sat back a number of years ago and said it'd be great to have that beauty. We knew exactly what Jordan, what he was going to bring. But we've been, the word not surprised. We've been pleasantly surprised with where he's been at. More so what he's brought to the group too, from both on field and off field. He sees the game. He's got an incredible awareness about the game of footy. And so he's working, even during the week. I see him today sitting down with, Saligo and talking through some game plans, sitting with our backs and discussing, some of the ways we might be able to improve our game. You get players in like that. You make those acquisitions for a reason. We went pretty hard at that one, and we'll continue to try and do that going forward, over the next couple of years.
Nixie, where do you go and de-stress? Have you got a mentor? Do you switch off your phone? Do you
surf?
Go and walk along the beach? Where do you go and find your own time? Because it is obviously a brutal industry, and it's one of the most demanding jobs being a senior coach. What does Matty Nix do?
Well, I don't surf. I've never surfed. I got shock and balance.
I thought you were Kelly Slater. You look a bit like
he looks like Kelly Slater, does he?
That's what
Thank
I
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that. Now, I'm an eastern suburb snob. I'm a cafe man. But I've got three young kids. Yeah. So that keeps me more than occupied. Any time downtime I have, I go back to reality. And we call our place the madhouse. Yeah, we've got three under eight, so we're working our way through that now and loving life. And it keeps me in a space where you realise it's not the end of the world.
No.
Hey, have you seen the captaincy rotation through your leaders? And who have you thought about next year with Sloane either continuing or is someone a front runner out of that group?
I've been quite pleased with the way the guys have taken it on board. Now, our leadership group, if you talk to the official guys in that, Riley obviously has gone back to the Sandford, Riley O'Brien, to work on his game a little bit. So, he'll come back in at a point. We're confident he's a super leader, especially off the field, and he's really important to us on game day. Keezy's got the reins at the moment, and his form, he's playing some fantastic footy. So, by no means has it affected him other than positively. Tommy Duday, we know, has done it before, and his game, goes to another level when he takes that responsibility. And we're really pleased with Brodie Smith and the way he went about it. So we're working through that. As I mentioned before, Geordie Dawson, it's not official that he's in a leadership group or Taylor Walker. It's not official, but these guys are incredible off the field and on the field with the way they go about it. So we've got a lot of leaders around the footy club that, aren't necessarily the ones that everyone's talking about.
Hey, mate, before we let you go, I appreciate your time with three kiddies under eight. It would be a madhouse. I know. Well,
just like mine.
When will you and the Adelaide Crows Football Club announce a new two-year deal for our boy Tex Walker?
That hasn't come out yet. No.
Is it 3 years?
We have discussions with him on, is that going to happen or not, Nick? So you've got to wait till end of the year, see where you're all at.
We're talking at the moment. We're chatting, working through that at this point in time. I don't know whether that's a year or 2 years or what it will be. Yeah. Texas is so important to us on the field,
Absolutely.
Off the field. Now that's just one of those ones we balance up and we want to make sure we get that right.
Mate, thanks for your time. A good test for the young players to take on Geelong down there. And we'll speak again, Matty.
Thank you, guys.
And if you need a babysitter, we got Greg Blewett available.
Well, can I bring mine as well?
We do, for Thursday night, Blue, if you...
And if Matty Wright needs some help in front of goal, I'm available.
No, you're not. You're a halfback flanker tagger. Thanks, Matty. Take care, mate.
See you, guys.
Adelaide Crows senior coach, Matty Nix.
Yeah, it's all thanks to Drummond Golf. It's for the love of the game. drummondgolf.com.au.
Damo from West Lakes. G'day, Damo.
How are you, Jars?
Good, mate. Good, 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 good. Port Adelaide man, I'm led to believe.
Port Adelaide man, yes.
How do you think you're tracking as a team?
Probably three early games would have been good to get a couple wins on the board, but I don't know. I think we're building a little bit, so see how we go.
I always like when you ask a question to someone that.
We're like that.
It means he thinks they're going ordinary, but I'm trying to find a positive out of it.
Well, yeah, something like that.
Got him.
10 questions, 60 seconds, say pass, mate. You know the rules. I keep banging on about it every night, but let's get underway because we've got to catch up. We want to give away $1,000. We're due.
This is gettable, Damo. So
you reckon?
All right, here we go. Question one.
Naomi Osaka is famous for playing what sport?
Tennis.
Soccer player Mark Schwarzer was born in which Australian city? Sydney or Melbourne?
Sydney.
In sport, what does MVP stand for?
Most valuable player.
True or false, Sam Newman has been inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame.
True.
The Indy 500 is a car race that takes place where in the US?
Indianapolis.
In tennis, what follows juice?
Pass.
Which of the following is not a World Rally Driving immortal? Colin McRae, Bjorn Waldegard or Andrew Jarman's?
Andrew Jones.
AFL player Jason Akamanis won the Brownlow Medal in 2001 or 2002?
2002.
In golf, a birdie means you're one or two strokes under par for an individual hole?
One under par.
Tom Lynch plays for which AFL club?
Richmond.
In tennis, what follows juice?
advantage.
Oh, yes. Damo from Westlakes, a passionate Port Adelaide fan. That is a great performance on a Tuesday. Timmy Pine, let's check the scoreboard, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh,
correct.
That was Akamanis, wasn't it?
Yes. 50-50. Wow.
2001.
Or 2002. It was
2001. Yeah. It was the only one. Jeez, you were sharp.
Yeah, very good, Damo. Very good. Now, what?
No leniency?
Not at all. Not at all. What has he got, Timmy?
He's let me think about that.
My favourite prize player was Andrew Jarman. So.
Well, I think he's won $1,000.
Oh!
What's he won, Timmy?
He's won a $100 faster pasta voucher. There you go, Damo.
Oh, that's nice. That.
No worries.
Well done. Take care, mate.
Well played, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
That's good. I love those quick games. That was brutal.
That was very good.
Well, they all go I would have probably said 2002.
They all go for a minute, so they're all as fast as each other.
This is how. Don't forget, we've been plagiarised.
Yeah, we have.
By another mob.
I'm going to take
another
them down
too. Another organisation that is a community type setup.
Yeah, I'm going to. Take them down.
It's a term of endearment.
It is.
Now, what do you got, Greg? What are you looking at?
No, I was just looking to see that fairly easy questions, but under the pressure in tennis, what follows deuce?
Yeah, it's tough.
Now, that's what I was looking at,
thinking, but he got it in the end. He passed on game, and then came back.
Hey, up next, we're going to catch up with Paul Marsh from the
AFL. I would have said a serve.
I just said up next, we're going to catch up with
Charles. Charles would have said orange juice.
I would have said a serve. He's juice Newton. Juice Charles Newton.
Let's talk to the AFL Players Association CEO, Paul Marsh. Good afternoon, Paul, and thanks for your time.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good on you, mate.
Very good. Thanks, Marshy. Now, we need to hit you straight between the eyes last night. Nick Riewoldt was very critical and vocal about the lack of support of the AFLPA around backing off the Sam Fisher news from a couple of weeks ago. What's your take on that? Because there is support there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's heaps of support there. But it also means players have to engage in that support. And so, you know, it's difficult to talk to individual circumstances around individual players. But, you know, you guys are both past players. I guess you'd have your own experiences. And, you know there's lots of stuff that players can tap into.
So someone like Sam Fisher, I mean, I'm sure there's other players out there, Marshy, that might fall on hard times. Some people can't believe it. A lot of supporters think, oh, the players are on huge money. How did this happen? But if players do fall on hard times, what options have they got?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of support. So, you know, we've got a team of what we call our regional managers who are assigned to each of the teams. So the players can firstly tap into those as resources or even the club player development managers. We have a hardship fund. We've got education and training grants for players. We have a pretty significant retirement account now. We've set up a superannuation fund for players. We have wellbeing support, 360 psychologists around the country that players can tap into. We've got compensation for injuries. There's so much there that the players can tap into. But with so many past players, I guess we've either got to get the players to tap into us or pick up the conversations with the regional managers, as I said.
Paul, it's fair to say that the AFL Players Association, it's not a babysitting service, is it?
Well, yeah, we don't have enough staff to babysit everyone.
But it's not, though. It's not, Paul, is it, really? Because I've been looked after as a past player, and, you know, I was there from day one when the Crows formed in 1991 and we had to pay our $50 to join. But it's, you know, it's grown like the last 30-odd years, so it's not a babysitting service, to be quite honest with you.
No, it's not, and we don't – that's not necessarily our philosophy either. I think, you know, ultimately we've got to get players ready to navigate their own lives once they finish playing football. And so that's about giving players life skills and ability to go and find a job post-footy and to – deal with paying the bills, and you can't have everyone doing everything for you for your whole life or you're not going to be very successful. Correct. So that's part of what we're trying to do with the clubs, with the resources that we've got. And if players do find themselves in hard times, then they can pick up the phone and call us.
Yeah, Marshy, so when young players come in or enter the AFL system, quite often they've come straight out of school.
Yep.
They've lived with mum and dad. They don't know how to play pay power bills. They haven't even used a washing machine before. So what was it? They're incredibly raw from the start, aren't they? And your role is to or coach and run them through these sort of things or life skills.
Yeah, it is, but it's certainly partly our role. And, you know, as you know, Bernie, you've got a player development manager at your club who can help you with a lot of that sort of stuff. But it's not about doing everything for every player. It's about teaching them those life skills. And, yeah, they do come in raw. And we have a responsibility as an industry to try to teach them those life skills. But that's the ultimate goal, is to help players help themselves.
Hey, Marshy, can I ask you about the rules? And there's some, you know, a lot of commentary around the state of the game at the moment. Our own Tom Rockliffe wrote an article today about the AFL just sitting on their hands. They're not going to admit that the rules of they've stuffed some of them up, and mentioning that the Players Association would get involved. Is that something that you guys would look at?
Yeah, I mean, if the players are bringing issues to us, we'll absolutely look at them. We've had a recent round of club visits, and some of this has come up a little bit. It does come up from time to time. So we do have a representative of our organisation, Brett Murphy, who sits on the AFL competition committee and the AFLW competition committee for that matter, and we get to represent the players' views in that forum.
Hey, congratulations with the AFLW CBA. That just, 94% increase, which is massive for the women's game. Where's the current men's CBA at, and when do we expect conversations to start there?
Well, firstly, thank you. The men's deal is up this year, so we're in the process of preparing for that at the moment. I think with the women's deal being just a one-year deal, it's quite likely we'll bring the two together. So, you know, we're having conversations with both groups of players at the moment.
Hey, so what you're saying, so getting back to what we spoke about at the start around support. So you guys are there for support, but it's about the players engaging or using that support. That's probably the biggest issue we're dealing with here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't force people to do things they don't want to do. But part of what we're all trying to do here is show the players how many opportunities an AFL career actually can bring you, and then, you know, help them understand, you know, if they get engaged in these things, how it's going to benefit their lives, their football. And so there's so many resources around the players at the moment to tap into, and, you know, it doesn't mean we can't get better, but it is ultimately going to come down to the players engaging in this.
Paul, were you disappointed with Nick Riewoldt's comments last night, being a St Kilda legend that he is, or have you spoken to him? Has he got on the phone and had a chat to you today about his comments?
I actually rang him yesterday. I got wind that he was going to talk about it through someone else on the show, and we had a chat about it. Mm. I'm disappointed in the sense that, what I hate to see here is past players look at the PA and go, well, I'm not going to go to them because there's no support, when there is a lot of support if you want to jump into it. Mm. But in saying that, you know, I take his comments on board. We had a good chat, and I'm not showing away that we can keep getting better at what we're offering, but there is plenty there. So, you know, we'll keep adding to it.
Young men with lots of money, Marshy. A lot of people, you know, think outside of footy, drinking, drugs, that sort of thing. What about gambling? How big a problem is that in amongst your players, do you think?
Yeah, look, it's one of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think the way we tend to look at these things is our players are just a subset of what the community is, and gambling are problems, there's drug problems, there's alcohol problems in the community, and we'd be naive to think that wasn't the case, you know, within our playing group. So it all comes back to the programs we're providing. But again, teaching players to make good decisions is right in the middle of this.
One thing that Nick Riewoldt did say last night was to make the transition from the game the greatest issue in football. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have been probably playing at the time, Bernie. We actually polled the players on this very point. What's the biggest issue? And mental health was number one, and transition was number two. And, you know, we've done a lot of work on both, and there's still work to be done, but it's not a new issue. And, you know the focus here is get players thinking about this when they start in the system so that you don't get to the end of a career and players, you know, then start thinking about it and it's almost too late. So, you know, there's a lot of work being done whilst players are in their careers.
Marshy, thanks for your time, mate, getting on the phone, having a bit of a chat to us. So keep up the good work and we'll speak again.
Anytime, guys.
Yeah. There he is, thanks, AFL Marshy. Players Association CEO Paul Marshy.
There's so much support there. It's so much support.
That's why I hope I wasn't too harsh on saying it's not a babysitting service.
No, well, the players have got to engage.
The phone's there. They're there.
players have to engage.
Absolutely.
And use that support.
If any past players are out there now struggling, just get on the phone.
Yep.
You know, reach out to your football club because they've got personnel there, haven't they, Bern?
Yeah, no, they do.
It's come a long way. It's come a long way since I first walked into the Adelaide Crows Footy Club in 1991.
What about all the services that he listed off? Oh, you'd still be talking probably.
It's there. It's there to help. All right. So, and we appreciate his honesty too.
No, it did. And the retirement fund, like that pays, you know, that pays for 15 years or something. Oh. So, I mean, they've gone a long way, and they've modelled it off, obviously, the United States sports. But, they're doing all they can.
Now, listen, young man.
Slater. Well, I just
saw a great article in today's paper,
page
17. I already read.
Page 17.
There's a legend.
Yeah, someone's obviously read it to you, because you can't read.
Dead set legends.
No one listens to that rubbish led by Olf.
Not good. Page 17 today in Advertiser, and the headline, A Buddy Legend of Bush Footy.
Yes.
Now, have a look at him, and I know you can't see because on radio.
Jeez.
Filling the Guernsey out very, very well. That's a rogue football
club. He looks like Rudy Mandemaker, the great Central Districts.
What about the nickname? Michael the Whale Timms.
Yeah, Timmsy.
What a legend he's a like. And there's a photo of Buddy next to him because they're making Buddy comparisons.
Oh. Well, same colour Guernsey.
Timmsy's in better nick than Bud.
Same white and red Guernsey's about it and a lot of goals. Yeah. But I'll just go through a few things. He was poached by Nangwari Footy Club from rival team Robe in the early 80s, Jars and Blue.
Yeah.
And was the biggest draw card in the league. Man Mountain, described as.
Yeah.
A bit of a funny story here. He's hit by a car one day.
Oof,
did more damage to the car than him. But the Southeast legend booted just under 1,500 goals,
he's
boys.
He's a Hall of Famer.
1,493 goals, would you believe?
Brilliant.
And also, Blue, you're in this article, which you didn't know.
Hang on.
He was well known because he became the poster boy for West End beer at one stage.
Oh,
is that
too.
That big a legend? Cricketers David Hooks and Greg Blewett were freshly pouring beers together, but old the Whale, he was the star of the show.
I
do you remember him, Blue?
I remember that.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I
didn't even remember when you're reading it.
He's got no idea. I just showed you a photo of him and you laughed at him.
Well, he's changed a bit since, that was a while ago now. That West End ad, I did that, yeah.
Well, in 1984 for Robe, he kicked 134 goals. Mm. He backed it up the following season, 135.
Brilliant.
Then he went 129 in 89. But then his record haul when he went to Nangwari, 138
goals.
Well,
he's a legend.
What a legend. Now, this poster should go up everywhere, I reckon, because I want to put him on my wall.
Right,
I've signed his Guernsey, and that's going on my wall. 133.53.
Yeah, who's your local sporting legend at your footy club or your community club?
They're everywhere because the country regions have always produced great sports
people. They're hidden back there.
Men and women.
We want to find out about them. Your local legend.
Get on the phone.
And has a local legend kicked more than 1,500 goals?
Is there any at Stansbury? A local legend,
not
a character?
Well, Uncle Chris was a bit of a legend
Uncle Chris,
in the footy scene. But a bloke called Sid Agnew.
City.
Was the local cricket legend
there
growing up.
Mm.
Looked a bit like the Whale too.
Yeah.
Good hit him.
I got one as well.
What's that, Timmy?
Not sure about how many goals he kicked, but my uncle Ian Casey, Hope Valley Football Club. I've heard he's a bit of a legend there on the wall.
Timmy.
There you go. And there's a Ben Bioli at Gazer Footy Club. We call him Nuggets.
What did he do?
Well, he ate 80 nuggets one night.
Oh, that's not a legend.
Fell asleep on the front bar at Gazer Footy Club, so he's our legend.
That's just hungry. No. That's not a legend. We're talking local sporting legends after the Whale, Michael the Whale Timms. Who kicked? Well, you didn't even know who he was. I showed you a photo of him and you went, nah, never seen him before.
And that's what clubs are built on.
Yes, legends like this kick 1,500 goals.
Brilliant.
Kicked over 100, well, five or six times there by the look of it. So we're asking you, 133.53, ring up.
Who's your local legend?
Tell us who your local legend is. Blue?
Nah, Greg. Burn, text. Your text message first.
Thanks, Charles. Hey, you know how we split the Nixie interview up?
Yes, we did.
And you threw to the song?
Yes,
Well, a bit of a complaint here.
Who from?
That's nice. Well, there's no name.
Come on.
That's nice of Nixie to hang around for a song, Jars. Just hang around. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, for the song.
Thanks, Nick.
Cheers. Thanks, Nick.
Greg, you got a legend?
Yeah, I have. I went to a school with a guy who his old man was named was John Mosey from Robertstown. Yeah.
Johnny Mosey,
and he was known as the Bush Bradman. Oh. All right. Oh. So he played for Yardunda, but then came Yardunda Robertstown. Yeah. Anyway, he played 1,006 games of cricket.
1,006?
And he reckons half of those games were played over two Saturdays as well. So work out how many days that is. He scored 37,000 runs and took 2,600 wickets.
No way! Well, I'm standing up. That is a standing ovation.
He's cricket royalty.
That is unbelievable.
Well done. 133.53. Let's go to Warren from Wellham. G'day, Waz.
How you going, guys?
Have you got one? You got a local club legend?
Yeah, our current club captain at the moment, he's won 8 best and fairest over 11 years.
8 best and fairest? What club?
Blackfriars Old Scholars.
Nice. And how tracking this year?
Yeah, it's a tough year.
I like that.
What happened to the other 3 years?
He's also won 2 league medals as well.
2 league
What's
medals?
What's his name?
Matt Brincat.
Oh, do you know him, Jazz?
No, not at all. He's their current club captain, isn't he?
So 8 out of the last 11 BNFs with 2 league BNFs. That's handy.
A club legend.
That's very handy.
Yeah, he's got to go on the wall.
Yeah, on the wall.
Nah, well done. Thanks, Waz. Thanks, all the best, mate. Good luck. Let's go to Daz from Campbelltown. Dazza.
How you going, guys?
Very good. Daz, who's your bush legend or local legend?
Well, it was just that I heard about Casey from Hope Valley before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my dad, uncle, yep.
Yeah. My dad used to play with him at Hope Valley.
And describe him. Describe the way he played.
Oh, well, he was a big fella.
Yeah.
So not many people got in his way. But, yeah, he had a leg. I don't know how many times he kicked 100, but it must have been a fair few, I reckon.
So big full forward, was he?
Yeah, well, as far as I remember...
Did he have a special nickname like the fridge or the whale like Plugger. Timsy here in the page 17?
No, I just remember Casey. That's it.
Yeah, Case, big Case.
Get out of here, mate.
Nah, I love it.
But it was funny. I'm 45.
Mm. Yeah.
But so I was a young lad playing there myself. But I remember being a lad and quarter time. Fag out the mouth, half time, fag out the mouth. Every quarter break. Yeah, unbelievable. And then he'd go kick, head 12 goals. Yeah.
That's how they used to do it, didn't they?
Well, at least he didn't have one when he was playing.
Good on you, Daz.
In the breaks.
Thanks for your call, mate. Let's go to Boyd from Mundala. Boyd, who's your local legend, mate?
His name is Michael Hunt.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what that sort of shortens down.
You wouldn't call him Mike.
But now, what type of player was he?
He was a full forward. Actually, Bern, you would have played against him when you played for Francis.
Yeah, I would have. We only played Mundala once that year, lost by 7 points. Yeah. I remember it.
How'd you play?
A heap of Wheezy's and what's the other famous name there?
Exels. Plenty of Wheezy's. Williams's.
Yep.
Yeah, plenty.
No,
we just used to call him Hunty. He's played over 500 games, actually. Wow.
500?
Probably close to 6, I think.
Jeez, was he, how many premiers? Because Mundala used to win the premiership just for fun down in that league.
Yeah, we just took the piss, mate. we think we've gone 9 out of 11 years and 7 in a row at one stage.
Jeez.
We're just on 4 in a row at the moment,
Well done. I played down there in 2004, Jars, and Mundala just dominated.
Whipped you.
Absolutely.
Good on you, boy.
We got within 7 points. I was quite happy with that.
Hey, I reckon Michael Hunt, there was one. He was the groundsman at Lords for a number of years, and I reckon that name just tripped up a few commentators over the years as well.
Did it really?
Didn't use him, Mike. Didn't call him that.
No. Well done. Good stuff,
boys. We need to get Benny in. I know Benny, our producer, sits out there, but he came in yesterday and gave us an almighty bathing down, didn't he?
About
the GoPros on our road trip.
It's a standard.
He reckons they spent all this money on the GoPros.
$2,500.
And the training and how to turn them on and off and record.
We stuffed
and
it up.
And he reckons there was a minute 40 in total. Benny!
And I copped an absolute barrage.
Come in here, Benny.
And I got no support from you guys from that barrage by Ben the German.
No, I think stood up for you. Now, come in here.
Right.
Because.
Oh, here we go.
Because there's actually someone that's gone through the footage.
An expert?
an expert on the GoPros, and what's been found, Benny? You spill, and you I want an apology to everyone.
Oh, you
in
want
here.
An apology?
And I want you to know, you want tell them what's happened.
So yesterday, I accused you blokes of spending $2,500 of the company's money to only record a minute 40 worth of footage.
Yeah, you did. And you targeted CIC.
CIC. And you snitched on to Matty O'Reilly, our boss, who's never here.
Yeah.
Who's swanning around somewhere
on
over
some
in the stadium.
He's on the cans.
Yeah, wearing his buddy thong.
Yeah. That's right. No, I wanted to say we found the footage. Which is
what? So hang on. Have we got some highlights of what you said yesterday
this is what
to
I
us?
Said yesterday.
You idiot.
So the digital team came to me this morning, and
we
the management and all the
team,
yes,
we
got
no
one
here,
and they've loaded up the GoPros after all this effort to get you guys kitted out. Yeah. Have a guess. Just give me a time figure of how much footage you filmed of your road
trip. Well, just
because we were told by Alan, our techos. There's about 1,000 of them here anyway. That the batteries last for an hour, didn't they?
Yeah,
Chris?
An hour
each.
Correct.
And that's it.
Yes. So, but as the CIC, you took charge because I was driving and Blue is in the back.
Human rubbish bin.
Jazz, you did. Yes. You made a couple of mistakes. You did your first interview and the camera was facing the wrong way.
Yeah, so paste the camera.
From then on, like, we got a bit of road footage as he was talking into the back of the camera.
I thought I was doing.
But from then on,
it was okay.
Pretty good. Yeah. You get a couple updates. We went through Port Wakefield and.
So, German, this where you're going.
What's your question?
I've written it down so you blokes know.
An hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah. So, there's a minute 40 of Jars. This is true. Of Jars just adjusting the camera. Right? And then on the second GoPro, it was never used at all.
I think that was right in the back.
That was yours, Greg.
I couldn't reach it.
Right?
Oh, that was handy.
And the third one is 30 seconds of you blokes on the cans in the clubhouse.
Right. So what's the update? There's a lot of people who've spoken to us, and you ridiculed us. It was embarrassing for us when we got home.
Well, I might have made a mistake, boys.
Oh, no.
What's not like you, Benny?
Well, we found the rest of that footage.
So there is more footage.
You found the whole lot,
We found the whole lot.
And it's good footage.
You actually did everything right.
We did everything right.
So?
Oh, well, German lips.
So hang on. What was found today that wasn't found yesterday? How can it be only a minute 30 yesterday?
Question, Greg.
We handed them round to the proper tech people.
So you gave them to the improper tech to start with, did you? Is that you?
No, do you know what I'll do? I'll apologise to Bluey. Okay. Just to Bluey.
Hang on.
Because this show, I cop it all the time, particularly from you and Jars. And I just wanted to actually, like, this is why I don't want to apologise to you two.
Where's your desk, Benny?
Because of the treatment that I get on this show. Blue's a gentleman. Let's just play that clip from, this was a while ago.
Everybody heard. Just tell us what they win, Benny!
Can you get up, young man? Get up. Just be who you are, Benny. Do it again now. Go.
Okay, well, from the start.
Just go.
Okay, Triple M's Rush Hour with... Oh. It's all got to go, Jazz.
It does. Purified. And you'll be going with it. Matty, I want Benny gone.
Don't get Matt in on it.
I want G. I don't care if we get Sean Craig Murphy back for a week. Listen. He's like a kid in a candy shop.
Triple M, I'm up and about. Is that good enough for you, Andrew Jarman?
It's an improvement.
Do you hear things that haven't been said, Benny? What the hell? Have you got different headphones on?
I need to ring Matty the boss again.
Up next.
I just said that up next.
Come on, Benny.
No, hang on. All right. Well.
Now, Ben, no one's ever called me Jarman on air, but that's okay. Jarman.
I've got this under control. I just wanted to see if you...
Oh, well, that's your opinion.
I was actually trying to be nice.
Good boy.
Doesn't suit you.
What's up next, Jazz? You're looking at the board.
Yes, we need to address your ability on this show, so that's up next.
Ability? None of it.
You two, you're not very nice, ever.
He goes, g'day, sir, it's Johnny Hender.
Oh, he's taking the shot. Don't.
He's doing that funny stuff.
Don't go in Hado's lane.
Is this as funny as you get, Benny?
You're done, mate.
Push him. He's gone.
Just turn yourself off.
Oh, shut him down.
Don't you start talking in a threatening voice either.
What an idiot. Hope you walk out because I'm done with you. Take Benny with you and don't bring him back.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Right. No, maybe not you, Benny.
Sorry, I apologise, Bluey.
Oh, hang on.
But to you two,
apology accepted.
I didn't think I was that bad then.
Oh, hang on. All right.
You too.
Hey, make sure you clean your whole desk.
And Benny, go on a holiday.
Because the new, the new bloke's apparently...
Still at it. Come back, Benny. Clear your desk. Come because back. The bloke, new bloke needs a bit of room.
He'll be starting.
Anyway, like where were we?
Now let's talk to AFL player and boxer. Yes. Taylor Harris. Now, she's got a new documentary coming out on Prime Video. She joined us on the top rating Global Rush Hour. Good afternoon. Good evening to you, Taylor, and welcome to the show.
Hey, how you going? Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Kick like Taylor. Tell us about the doco, because no doubt everyone's going to watch this doco about your life so far, which has been interesting.
Well, that's right. It comes out on Friday, and, you know, whether they want to watch it, great. If they don't, then simply don't watch it. Yeah. Not, you know, I don't really mind. All I care about is that the people who have interest and do want to watch it and care about seeing a young female athlete in Australia, you know, taking life as it comes and enjoying it along the way is all I care about.
Nah, we'll be watching it. Don't worry about that. How far back does the filming go in your life?
It goes back a couple of years because it was all planned BC before COVID. So
BC, I like that. BC.
I guess a couple years, you could say. It captured a few of the big moments that have happened along the way, and we reflect back on, of course, the kicking photo that you know, seems to be a bit of a popular one for people to talk about.
Certainly does. And from all reports, Taylor, you copped an absolute shellacking on social media. Too. So you went through a lot there. What about these days? Are you still on socials, and how do you handle it?
Yeah, I still have accounts and things like that, but I certainly don't spend much time on there, and I absolutely don't read comments and take time or energy into, you know, listening to people that aren't prepared to say it to my face. So, yeah, I like to enjoy the perks of social media, which is connecting to particularly young people in a pretty unique way, and it gives them an opportunity to see inside into how an athlete goes about, you know, what she does, or perhaps someone that they look up to, you know, whether it obviously be myself, or I actually follow along people that I look up to, and I enjoy watching their training and the way they go about their day-to-day life. So I feel like there's certainly positives, but I'm definitely less consumed at this point.
How did you handle that period? Did you just choose not to engage with those sort of, well, that vile stuff on social media, or did you get help? Did you just seek friends out? How did you go? Because we've seen a lot of sporting stars these days really struggle with that.
Yeah, I had a pretty a quick response, I suppose you could say, with that kicking photo thing. I put out one photo with one caption that said, "My hamstring is okay, but sexist and derogatory comments aren't."
Yep.
So I guess that was my counterpunch. And then beyond that, I just did a few interviews here and there. But in terms of social media, I never felt the need to go back at individuals because there was there's no purpose, and that's what they're after. They want the bite. But I guess if I can do a broad message and then let, I guess, the public and the community stand up for each other, then that's all I need to contribute.
Taylor, you've got footy and you've got the boxing there as well. If I ask you what's your real passion, and, you know, it doesn't have to be one of those, but what really gets you going in life? What's your real passion?
Oh, I think having a good time, probably. I just enjoy spending time with friends and family. And, of course, when you say friends, that extends to teammates and playing footy. And at the boxing gym, of course, you've got your training partners, and they're people that you spend a lot of time, and they see you in all sorts of states. So I think just enjoying life with great people, that's pretty much why I do anything I do, is to try and make the most of it and have no regrets. I have no doubt when I'm older, I'm not going to look back and feel like I've missed an opportunity.
So you seem like you're dealing with it pretty well, because everything you do becomes high profile. Even your trade from Carlton, or your exit from Carlton to Melbourne, was high profile. And there's all this talk around, oh, she wants too much money. But you just focused in, you played well, made a grand final, all Australian, responded in the best way you can that's on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I've ever wanted to do. I've only ever wanted to play footy and enjoy it. I'm from Brisbane. I grew up in a small town, I suppose you could say, in Brisbane. And none of this was by design. I never asked to be in the public, but it's just the way it's worked out. So I found an opportunity to influence people in a good way. And that's why I keep doing a few commitments here and there, but definitely have found a great balance in terms of training and external commitments in order to get the best out of myself on field. And at Melbourne, I couldn't ask for more in terms of teammates, coaching staff, The football club itself is an unbelievable place, so I'm really happy to be there.
Being from a small town from Brisbane, not a footy state, how did you get into footy, and especially as a female? Because, you know, it's a lot better now with player development and junior women wanting to play the game. How did you find yourself in footy?
Well, I started when I was only 5 years old, so I am one of very few who managed to play all the way along. I had a few bumps along the road. For example, when I was in under-14s playing mixed footy on the north side of Brisbane, I was told that I, simply because I was a girl, I was no longer allowed to play. Yeah. So I had to go and play open women's footy, which seemed absurd because the reason for not playing is because it's dangerous against the boys. But I was as big and as strong as any, and then I go and play open women's footy against fully grown women. Yeah. So it was that was a challenge, but it was one that I took it on board, and I went and played my junior, as a young person, I went and played footy against the likes of Katie Brennan and Emily Bates in the open women's competition as a 15-year-old. So I was pretty lucky to have that opportunity.
Hey, Taylor, just before we let you go, what's next with the boxing?
I'll fight end of the month. Stay tuned for an announcement, and I'm not withholding anything. I actually am waiting on the confirmation myself, so looking forward to announcing it very soon.
Oh, nice.
Taylor Harris, thanks for sharing that with us. It comes out May 27th, Prime Video. Kick like Taylor, and all the best, and keep fighting and just keep being who you are, Taylor Harris. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All the best. Well, there she is.
She's a star.
There, she's a brave young soul.
Speaks very
brave.
Well, too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to take her on in the boxing ring because she'd do some damage to you, old skinny lips.
She'd have to catch me first.
She'd have to catch you, wouldn't she? She'd knock you to the edge of your life.
I'll be running.
This is the Rush Hour. Up next, we're going to do something.
Burns facts.
Well, the bloody scoreboard should be moved over.
That scoreboard, we're going to do. It's not a scoreboard either.
And that's Benny, it's not Tim. I'm over here.
Timmy. Called him Timmy and called him a scoreboard.
We're going to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Terrific show for a Tuesday.
A
the rain's about to arrive.
Yes,
4 o'clock tomorrow morning. She's going to bucket down, family.
That
the
is
nostrils
coming.
Are flared to the inch of their life. And when that happens, it's rain.
How good were our first two breaks today, though?
Taylor Harris.
They were my favourite, too.
Fascinating story about young Taylor.
Mm.
And very funny. Nixie's.
Taylor. Very funny.
Who? No, Mark? Nick, I was going to say.
Mark Taylor.
An interesting story about.
Michael Taylor.
Taylor Harris was very.
keep going.
And Matty Nix, well, he's very positive. You know, he's got a big game against Geelong on Saturday. It's going to be a big test. But anyway, now, we're going to wrap the show up for a Tuesday.
Well, you have to get somewhere, don't you?
Well, yeah, but not till later. I've got time to listen
have
to the fun
time,
facts.
Have you?
Yeah. They're a bit short, the fun facts, last night. I had a couple of people text me last night on the way home. How come Boone's fun facts were just short?
I didn't want to do them, that's why.
Yeah, I said that. I said he's
what about
a bit
tonight?
Fatigued.
Do you want to do them tonight?
Not really.
Jeez, that's not a good
tomorrow,
attitude. We're meant to sign off
Thursday.
In a positive energy. And
yes.
Nope. Friday.
Greg.
Nope. Greg. Don't have to do them Friday.
I'm Greg.
What'd you call him then?
Right.
They call you Taylor.
Crab.
Grat or?
Crab.
Crab.
My bottom lip has seized due to the weather.
Watch out, you'll get bitten in a minute.
All right, let's go.
Okay, crabbing it out.
19 what? Where are we going?
At 19 what?
No, where were we going?
May 24. What's that got to do with 19?
Yeah, nice not with
Maz last year. Hey, start.
We had a lovely bath.
Hey, can I quickly get one? Our dog's birthday today. 11.
What's your dog's name?
We're doing dog wishes.
Napoleon.
Oh.
But we call him.
Oh, he's called
we call
Napoleon
him Nappy.
As
we,
well.
We call him Nappy.
I'm led to believe he's trying to get out.
I'm led to
believe.
He's trying to get out as well.
Because they know it's like.
Well, him and Catherine.
Everyone's trying to divorce me.
Because they know your house is like Yatla.
What? Napoleon's been at the real estate agent as well.
We've been doing this for 4 minutes.
Yeah, May 24, you dingbats. Listen up. I don't really want to do this anyway. May 24 is...
You said that 3 times already.
I don't really want to do this anyway. There's 5. May 24, Brother's Day today.
Yeah.
International Brother's Day. So if you've got a brother, reach out. Reached out?
Yeah, little DJ. No, I haven't. Not
I reached out to him last Thursday when you were watching highlights of him and yourself.
by yourself.
We haven't spoken about that, have we?
No, we've got to talk about that. Can you tell my boys as well? Because they weren't showing each other love this morning.
Well, no good. Again, no. Okay.
Anyway.
A few birthdays today. The great Bob Dylan today, Jars. Here's his one of his best. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Go, Greg. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. What a star. Very tough to pick his best song.
It took all my attention most of that.
Hey, okay. this is a good one. We're not going. I already have one birthday so far. Another birthday, one of Greg's favourites. Her name is Priscilla Presley, not Priscilla or whatever you thought the other day.
Priscilla.
And what did you like about her?
I liked when she was going up
on this day, 1887, the Brooklyn Bridge was officially open. Nice. That was going to be a boring story. I had to move on. At the time,
when he says Naked Gun, he says Nice Beaver, and she hands the beaver down. We're live. We are.
We're a live show. We're global.
Good luck on our last show
Back
ever.
To the Brooklyn Bridge.
Brooklyn Bridge on 1887 on this day officially opened. At the time, considered the greatest engineering feat ever. 160 foot long when it was opened. It was the longest suspension bridge in the world.
How much did it cost to be built?
Well, I didn't go into that much detail.
How much steel did they use, and where did they produce the steel? How many workers were on the site?
I have.
Well, you would have been three parts.
I was with Catherine. We're holding hands and skipping along.
Oh, here we go.
Where does it take you from? Engaged. From where to where?
Where to where, yeah.
Well, to New York. Well, you're in New York, and you're Brooklyn's right. Part of, well, Manhattan to Brooklyn.
You know Tony Soprano lives there.
Yeah, he
They're
does.
Dangerous people. Well,
he used to.
One of my good
Hey, speaking
friends.
Of runners, we were chatting about a runner before. And on this day in 1926, Paavo Nurmi ran the world record for the 3,000-metre race, the 3K-er.
Timmy, where's what the Benny Hill music? With?
What do you mean, what did they do it with?
Well, how long? How long? He did it in, I should have said.
3,000 k's, I don't know.
3K.
3 k's in what, like?
He would have done it in 8 minutes.
8 minutes 25. Now, that is flying.
There you go.
Hey, this day, 1956. Two to go, Jazz. The first ever Eurovision Song Contest was held.
Oh, yes.
This is up your alley, bit of a music one.
Yes.
Switzerland won it.
It did. ABBA.
Sweden.
No, that's Sweden. Liz Assia won it.
She did
with
too.
With this song.
Couleur du ciel, parfum de mes 20 ans.
I've never got into Eurovision.
It's changed a lot since this song.
Well, yeah.
This is more of like a 1930s, 40s.
1956 it was, if you listen. Yeah, because it's on this day in 1956. You stupid.
Gave the year like 5 seconds before you said that.
Yeah, all right.
This is more of a 1930s.
I've got to get to the training.
All right, here's the last one.
Oh, crumbs.
On this day, 1830, what would you say is the most famous nursery rhyme ever?
Humpty Dumpty.
No.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
I just said it's not Humpty
All the
Dumpty.
King's horses and all the king's men.
Did I say sing one if
Couldn't
you know
see
one?
Humpty
no, I didn't.
Together
Turn
again.
Him off, Timmy. That? That's enough.
Could've
He's had enough.
Humpty.
It's not that.
What is it?
Name a couple of others.
I don't know.
There's Baba Black Sheep.
Baba,
well, you can't say that now.
Well, I just did.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Oh, you're all over this stuff, Jars.
The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse went two.
You're not right there.
I forgot it.
There's a lot. What? There's one more. You'd get surely. Come on.
I don't know.
It involves an animal on a farm.
Three pigs.
No.
That's a story, isn't it?
Hurry up. I've got to go.
What about this one? Mary had a
How did you not get that? Yeah, well, Greg should have got that. He knows his song. Have you heard this old white tea?
Oh, Mary had a little lamb.
See you, family.
See you tomorrow. Good luck at training, John.
Oh, hope it rains.
I quit.
See you, Timmy.
And if you miss any of the show as well, you can get it on the listener app.
That was a good one.
That's just the half of it, lads.
Cheers.